countrywide on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Caller Gas, celebrating 80 years, bringing energy to Ireland's homes and businesses.
Well, this week we learned that insect numbers around the world are plummeting thanks to an article in the Journal of Biological Conservation. The rapid decline could lead to a catastrophic collapse of nature's ecosystems, according to the authors.
Insects play an essential role in the proper functioning of all ecosystems on Earth. They are food for all sorts of creatures, including birds, bats, fish, and many other vertebrate species. They're also essential for pollination and recycling of nutrients. Take them away and the entire ecosystems will collapse, with enormous implications for the future of mankind.
Now, Dr. Tomás Murray is an ecologist at Ireland's National Biodiversity Centre, and he joins me now in studio to give us more detail on this. Good morning, Tomás. Thanks for dropping by.
Good morning, Damien. Thank you for the invitation.
You're welcome. Now, some of the headlines on this report have caused alarm. Even that clip, just listening to George Lee's report there, it paints a very, very grim picture. The situation is grave, but will all insects, will they be extinct by the end of the century? Is that the way we're heading?
No, but we're going to have far less than we would have ever thought. Again, like that, insects compared to things like vertebrates. I mean, everybody thinks of large, charismatic mammals, and they've been very heavily studied, and people would have more empathy with things with backbones, basically. And we're very sensitive to those declines. And so vertebrates in broadly have always had quite a lot of research attention and a lot of attention with the public in their declines. But this one particular study has now really highlighted that the vast majority of animals, which are actually insects, so globally 2/3 of all the species on the planet are actually an insect. Even within Ireland, we have 31,500 species, of which 1/3, 11,500 roughly, are actually insects. So 1/3 of everything that's a species in Ireland is also an insect. That the rates of decline in insects are just that much higher than vertebrates, and they actually represent far more species and represent, in terms of just kilograms of animal matter, 20 times that of the groups that we're much more familiar with. So a loss of insects is an enormous loss. Even the numbers get so big and actually can be difficult to sort of conceive, but if you think again of mammals, around 70,000 species worldwide, 22% decline within vertebrates. I mean, that's quite dramatic. That's appalling, frankly. But when we start talking about insects, it's 6 million species estimated, of which we think now 41%, because of this report, are now in decline. So that represents an order of magnitude greater loss of wildlife than we really were fully aware of, actually, until this report synthesized all those studies from across the world.
Yeah, and it's human activity, urbanisation, climate change and intensified agriculture are the three headline areas that are being blamed for this decline. Now, those three phenomena are not going to change anytime soon: climate change, industrial agriculture and urbanisation. So what can we do to arrest this decline?
Well, this is the thing. Conservation science is actually now quite a mature field. We know how to reverse these declines. I mean, decline is not inevitable. And when these insect declines were reported, and again, we at a global level now we're seeing a rate of decline of, 41% and then increasing by 1% per year. That is also happening in Ireland. Those declines are happening here, and we know that they're happening because we run two monitoring schemes within the National Biodiversity Data Centre, where we have this network of wonderful volunteers, these citizen scientists who go out for butterflies. They go out once a week from April until September, and for bumblebees they go out once a month from March until October, walking a fixed route over a fixed time, counting all butterflies or bumblebees along their routes. So we have a very good idea of how populations are changing within Ireland. So all those things you've just discussed in terms of drivers of decline have effectively led to, unfortunately, us now losing around 3.7% of our bumblebees per year over the last 6 years. So that's around a 12% loss in our bumblebees, unfortunately, over the last 6 years.
Very alarming.
And then also a 14% loss in our butterflies too, over a 10-year time period.
Yeah.
So, I mean, those declines are happening, but particularly within Ireland, we have an excellent idea of how to reverse all these declines, and it's called the All-Ireland Pollinator Plan. So this particular plan, it was launched in 2015, and we now have over 68 different organisations as signatories to the plan. And I must say, this has been very much coordinated by my colleague Una Fitzpatrick and her team. I'm on the steering committee. Yeah. It's a 50-member steering committee implementing this plan. But ultimately, it's a list of actions of how everybody can ultimately reverse all of us.
Like, we hear gardeners, for example, calling into radio programs asking for ways of getting rid of bugs that are eating their plants, for example, and they're using insecticides as well.
Yeah,
and we all do that. We, you know, the idea of the creepy crawly or the insect, you know, we're always trying to find ways of catching flies or getting rid of blue bottles or infestations. But so we look upon insects in general. Yeah. And this may sound naive, but in general, you know, for the majority of us, we look upon insects and creepy crawlies as a nuisance.
Yeah.
And we're always trying to get rid of them. But what role do they actually play? It's a very important role that they actually play in all of our lives.
It is. I mean, we call them ecosystem services. These are all the wonderful things that insects do for us that we just don't realise that they're doing.
Give us a couple of examples.
So the classic one I've sort of mentioned there is pollination.
Yeah.
It's the key thing. So immediately, a third of everything that we eat by volume has been pollinated by a bee at some stage. Even if you're an avid carnivore, mm-hmm. I mean, an awful animal feed ultimately is plant-based, and many of those plants, like soya, etc., require pollination. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So a third of everything we eat has been pollinated by a bee. And we know that into the Irish economy, that's around 55 million per annum is generated just from bee pollination.
Okay, what else?
And then more broadly then, we can measure what we consume by bee pollination, but 3/4 of all the plants in Ireland, so a lot of the wildflowers, shrubs and also trees, ultimately need bees to pollinate them for their sexual reproduction to produce seed. So effectively, bees are maintaining 3/4 of all our wild vegetation, as well as feeding us too from the bits that we consume, and they provide that service for free.
Right.
So as soon as we start seeing declines in that one particular service, I mean, everything, it's of consequence to everything.
Do you know there's a bit of an irony here, and maybe I'm wrong, but when we talk about industrial or intensive agriculture destroying the habitats, the biggest far, you know, the biggest fields that I've ever stood in, the huge fields where hedgerows have been got rid of, are tillage farms, because to allow the big combines in. So while on the one hand, you know, we talk about moving to a more plant-based diet, in doing that, we are getting rid of an awful lot of habitats for biodiversity. Maybe I'm wrong now and there's people going to lighten me for it, but on livestock farms, you don't have that. You have more hedgerows for shelter. You don't need as big fields either. So to give the livestock farmers, dairy farmers for a change, a bit of a break, it would seem to me that the habitats, if they are a victim of industrialised or intensified agriculture, it's because of intensive tillage farming. Am I right or wrong in that now?
The use of
pesticides is more common on crops than it is on grassland, obviously.
Absolutely, it is. But I think, bluntly, no matter what style of farming you're in, everybody can do their little bit to actually improve the habitats around them for wildlife. And we're talking about insects today, but I mean wildlife in a broader sense. Now, we have a website called pollinators.ie. When you go to that particular website, I've talked about this overarching All Ireland Pollinator Plan, but we've, with an awful lot of consultation and with an awful lot of support from sponsors board, BIA, also co-sponsored by the Heritage Council, we have this thing called the farmland guidelines. So if you're a farmer and you want to have an idea of how you can help, no matter what type of farm you're on, we have basically 5 basic actions that you can take on to improve that anywhere around you for wildlife. And you've already mentioned there, one of the first ones is flowering hedgerows. The Irish agricultural landscape is almost unique across Europe in the quantity of hedgerows that we have. It's a wonderful resource that other countries look at.
6%, I think, of...
Absolutely, over 300,000 kilometres of hedgerows. And other countries look on us enviously that we have this resource across our countryside that ultimately acts like highways and byways for all our nature. So just a little bit more sympathetic management for to produce flowering hedgerows. That'd be number one. Number two, then, would be allowing more wildflower to grow around maybe the more non-productive areas of the farm, just a periphery of fields, farmland tracks, just allowing that flower to be there. After that, then, a little bit more sympathetic management in areas that are relatively undisturbed, particularly at the base of hedgerows or south-facing boundaries, not mowing those areas as intensely or any in spraying or enriching them in any way, again, to allow for a lot of wildlife to nest there, particularly for a lot of our wild bees.
And we do have the glass scheme. I don't know, is that fit for purpose? Do you think it's an opt-in scheme, of course. There's about 50,000 farmers involved in it. So whether that's going far enough. Just before we go, Rosa Donovan reports in this morning's edition of AgriFacts, interestingly enough, that environment MEPs have called to earmark at least 30% of the direct payments. These are Pillar 1 payments for ecosystems, the climate and environment, with a particular focus on biodiversity, high nature value farming, while 15 billion a year of the farm budget should be ring-fenced to support biodiversity objectives. So this is
fantastic
call
news.
By MEPs. Now, that'll be debated, obviously, in the context of devising a new look common agricultural policy and how farmers actually receive the money. But they're saying one third of the money that farmers should get should be based on supporting biodiversity and the environment and all of that. We're going to let you go, Tomás. Thank you very much. We'll put more details about what you do up on our website. But thanks for coming in and, I suppose, giving us that overview. It is a alarming sort of news, but as you said, it can be arrested at this stage, even at this stage. Thank you very much indeed for joining us. Tomás, that's Tomás Murray there.